The sermon is entitled, Who Are the Lost Sheep of God? What is the work of God in this present age? We find in Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus is speaking and says, And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Who is to preach this gospel? Matthew 28, and starting in verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now notice that the scope of this gospel message is to all nations, not just to what many consider to be modern-day Israel, not just to Americans, not just to the Christian Western world. All nations means just that, all nations. Notice also that it involves not just telling them that Jesus is coming to set up his kingdom, not just telling them about the message of salvation. It includes making disciples, baptizing them, and then teaching them all the things commanded. And notice that the commission has no stopping point. It doesn't halt somewhere before the end of the age. Jesus said that he would be with us always in order that we can perform this commission until his second coming. Notice as well that there are no power or authority limitations. Jesus said he had or has all power in heaven and on earth, and that he would be with us always. The Great Commission, as we call it, was first given to the apostles. Later, it was passed down through the ages to others who were also Christ's disciples. It is a very big job, and the job lasts for approximately 2,000 years. Actually, how much work is there to do? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus had to say about this in Matthew 9 and starting in verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus showed compassion for the masses. He was preaching to and healing primarily Jews, but was he looking beyond the Jews? You know, some have said that Israel will be called in this church age, and they talk about 144,000 from the 12 tribes as some sort of a limitation on those called in this age now. While the gospel, they believe, will go to the Gentiles in the millennial age. But what did Jesus say? John 4, starting in verse 34. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, because they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, these scriptures tell us several things. Number one, there is more harvest than laborers to do the work. Number two, we should not say the harvest is for the future, because it is ready now. Three, the reapers receive wages, which Jesus said was eternal life. Four, God's reapers build on what others through the ages have already done. We join the labors of the apostles and those who followed. There is more work yet to do than we can even imagine. You know, we've hurt ourselves by limiting the harvest to only a few chosen ones, or saying that salvation is only for Israel in this age, or saying that we should concentrate on the English-speaking people of the West. I've heard all of these, and probably so have you. You know, we've tried to limit God. God doesn't think like we who are weak and limited, fleshly beings. He is much bigger and more limitless in his thinking than we can even imagine. In Matthew 28, Jesus placed no limitations on the harvest. In fact, in other scriptures, he said it was vast. The harvest was vast. Let's go back and break down the Matthew 28 and verse 19 commission of Jesus again. Number one, the gospel must be taken to the people. They're not going to come to us in our living room. Number two, we have to send preachers trained in the gospel message. Number three, the people we take the message to must respond. They must repent and be baptized into the body of Christ. And number four, pastors must be trained to feed and nurture new church congregations. We can't just go and preach and then baptize and then walk away. It's like planting a tree in the desert. We can plant the tree, we can water it for a day, but if we don't consistently water the tree, return and water it every day, it will die. It's no different when people who are newly, they're like babes and need the protection and the nurturing and the parenting of the church. Let's now turn our attention to John 21, and we'll start in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Simon said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus once again said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus once again the third time said to him, "Feed my sheep." If we truly love our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be busy finding and feeding his sheep. But who are the sheep? Let's look at Luke 15 and verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Again in John 10, starting in verse 11, Jesus is speaking, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, and we have enough of those, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away." He flees. The wolf catches the sheep, scatters them, and the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep." And notice this, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." I believe that Jesus here was making an allusion to other sheep who are not of the Jews or Israel. There are many sheep out there from many nations and languages who are lost. Some will be chosen in this life and some in the next. But how will they ever be found if no one is looking for them? Jesus said the harvest truly is plentiful. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be actively taking the gospel to the lost sheep of our Lord. Where are they? Well, who are they? God knows. Jesus knows. But if we are not actively out there searching and taking the gospel of salvation to the lost sheep, they will never find their way home in this life. They're lost. The Apostle Paul gives us a clear formula of how we must search for the lost sheep of Jesus Christ. And please turn with me to Romans 10 and verse 12. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" God's harvest fields are vast. He has sheep out there he wants to bring into the fold. Not by two witnesses, not in the millennium, not put off to some future time. This is a cop-out. Not some future time, but right now. We need to concentrate our efforts in areas where the true gospel has not reached. We need to prepare young evangelists to find the sheep of God and train young pastors to feed them. Now at Legacy Institute Leadership Training Center in Thailand, this is exactly what we are doing. We're not bringing them to the USA for education because few ever return to their own countries. Rather, we are training them in their own environment and equipping them to carry the gospel, those that are chosen, to carry the gospel to their own peoples. There are many lost sheep out there. Jesus said the fields are already ripe for the harvest. You know, God has given us a lot. He's given us so many things. I tell you frankly, when I return to the United States from Thailand, I am overwhelmed with the physical blessings that have been given to this nation. So God has given us a lot. He's given you and me a lot of spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, training in the Bible, training in the Word of God. So many things. Now we must pass our knowledge of the Bible and of God's way of life onto others and provide them with the help they will need to go out and enter the harvest. We received the commission from others before us. Now we must pass it on to others who will find these lost sheep and bring them home.